My name is Joshua Porter. We're doing a podcast today talking about some of the issues surrounding the subpoenas that the U.S. government has given to the major search engines asking for information that got so much press lately. To give you a quick overview, last August, the U.S. government subpoenaed the three major search engines and AOL for data. And Google issued a press release earlier, this week or last, saying that they would vigorously deny the request for data, and while also pointing out, or it was quickly pointed out, that Yahoo and MSN, the other major search engines, had complied. Subsequently, it was huge news across the nation and the blogosphere. And today we're going to be talking about some of the issues that we've been talking about here at Microsoft Search Champs, given that we have some new information that the blogosphere didn't know previously, and that information has been talked and bantered about here at Microsoft Search Champs. Before we get started, I'd like everyone to introduce yourselves and say a quick bit.
Sure.
Thomas Vanderwall of Vanderwall.net and PersonalInfoCloud.com, focusing largely on personal information and tagging and folksonomy.
Hi, my name is Diane Hinchcliffe. I'm with Sphere of Influence in Washington, D.C., and I'm a member of the Web 2.0 workgroup.
Hi, I'm Fred Oliveira. I'm with WeBreakStuff.com, and I'm a founding member of the Web 2.0 workgroup.
I'm Alex Barnett, actually from Microsoft, also a member of the Web 2.0 group, and I blog.
I'm Brady Forrest, one of the organizers of Search Champs, part of the MSN Search team, and find me on the MSN Search blog.
Okay, so to start here, this morning we were all gathered together for Yusuf Mehdi, the head of MSN here at Microsoft, and he began a discussion which not only lasted for that session but lasted throughout the day and into the evening, in which at first, all the information was under NDA, so we couldn't talk about it publicly or blog about it. But after some courageous Microsoft employees pushed back a little bit, they said, you know, we really do need to get this information out. We need to tell Microsoft's side of the story. And the bloggers here, including several members of the Web 2.0 workgroup, we're willing to, help spread the word and talk about kind of what really went down. Before we go any further, however, we've had a new member join us here. Would you like to say a little bit about yourself?
No.
Please.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I really belong here, but being so, I'm a nice curmudgeon. I'm one who believes that Well, first of all, the privacy issue that had recently come down, I think, was a little overblown. I think the ramifications of what had happened, I think, are far greater and certainly deserve everybody's full attention. I don't think Microsoft was to blame for anything they had done. That's my statement on that.
And that is Chris Perillo talking. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, as if my voice, you know,
yeah,
was so, you know, like everybody else's.
Like they can see your hair on
right,
an audio.
Yeah,
like,
so, I'm assuming that's the topic that we've kind of been discussing.
No, that's next door, actually.
No. Sorry. Yeah, I'll just go back to eating nuts, then.
That is the topic. So the general feeling we've heard all day is that it felt like when Google kind of came out and said what they said and actually had a press release for this, that they were trying to kind of steal the limelight from the other search engines and kind of make the other search engines look bad. After we heard from the MSN team today, it sounded very innocent on MSN's, the team's part, they kind of said, you know, we were just in talks with the government. People ask us for information all the time. And so as a matter of course, we gave them information because we felt that it didn't violate
and
the privacy.
And that's the whole thing. They were in possession of all the facts, so they're like, hey, there was no problem here. You know, no harm, no foul.
And not just that, but out of all the search companies, which is the one that's been under the most scrutiny by the U.S. government? Has it been Google or has it been Microsoft? Yeah. So, you know, if anything, that's, I mean, if, not to say there's an excuse, or that Microsoft would need an excuse for their decision, but I think that certainly, you know, a tremendous amount of weight that is placed on the decision-making process that had to go into that.
So my question kind of for everybody here is, what did you think the situation was before you walked in today and had a conversation? Mm-hmm. What's changed in terms of your understanding since walking out?
If I can start that, answering to that. It's actually very funny because when I first read about it, I thought, well, I must say I was kind of impressed with Google's press work. And I must admit that I thought, wow, the guys at Google, they were awesome. I mean, come on, MSN disappointed us again, and Yahoo did exactly the same. So today I was actually, I'm not going to say relieved, but I was happy to see that the Microsoft team was being honest about it, and they realized the mistake of not being transparent about it. And after knowing how much information was actually given, now I know how funny the whole situation is, because it is. It gets to a point where it's ridiculous.
It's spammers.
Let's talk a little bit about exactly what sort of information was given.
That's an important
point.
That was one of the things for myself that was very comforting for hearing what Microsoft actually gave over. And they actually protested the initial subpoena that came. They said, we're not going to give you the private information, we're not going to give you the IP addresses, and we're going to collapse the information to a point where we're saying, oh, here are the search terms, this search term, you know, Seahawk is going to be 26 of the, you know, 1 million hits that we're giving you. And so that they had taken out all the information that would be relevant, what web bloggers look in their referral logs, other things that are familiar to people who are more technically adept and we think would normally be turned over as information, but have been collapsed and filtered out so that that information wasn't really given. It was more, here are the terms that are given. And one of the things that I had come in, I don't know whether it was Google framing it or who was framing it, but it seemed to be sort of child porn, but it wasn't photos of children, but it was children running across pornography, which has a completely different
perspective.
Yeah,
that's not child porn at all.
Yeah. Well, it's
I mean,
that. Wait, raise your hands if you did not ever look at a Playboy, ever, ever.
You've asked that at lunch.
I asked it at lunch. It's a serious question. Yeah. It's just now easier to get access to it. That's the only difference. And you can't, I mean, if you went back to my clubhouse, oh my God, you know, they're probably still stashed up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of condition they're probably no better condition they were when I left them. But what I'm saying is that
that was awful.
Well, you know, par for the course. You've never seen my clubhouse. So then again, anyway. So, but no, it's just to underscore that statement, Microsoft only released two bits of information: the search term and how many hits that search term brought. That was it. To me, that's like, and this is an issue, why?
Of data
that
the user generated.
Right.
And it was like 1 million samples.
Does everyone agree with that?
1 million samples of pages from the index.
Right.
But here's the thing, that's easily accessible data from any search engine.
That's
public knowledge. That there's nothing anywhere remotely huge to that.
No.
At all. That's a non-issue. Yeah. It's the fact that Google spun it that made them... you know, made them an angel in a situation where, well, there's no angels to be seen.
Okay.
There's no angels necessary. It's just the fact. They spun it, and they made Microsoft and Yahoo look bad.
Even still, a lot of people paid a lot of attention to it, not just the press. I mean, obviously the press was bringing it from one side, but it felt that there was definitely a kind of sense of that the regular Joe was now starting to ask questions about this issue, and it's becoming a bigger issue, especially with the state of the nation and the state of the world. Does this make a difference in how you view the information that you give people online or that you
not
provide?
Not a bit. And I will tell you that the average person out there doesn't give a wink. They don't care.
Sure.
You can tell them that they were tracking everything. The average person won't care. The person who's not doing anything that's bothering anybody is not going to care. They're getting tracked anyway. They got health insurance. They're getting tracked. If anybody's worried about privacy, seriously, move to a shack in Montana. Get offline. Just never communicate with anybody again electronically. Never talk on the phone. Do whatever you want to do. But being online, you have to assume. Who was it? Was it McNeely who said privacy is an illusion or something along those lines?
McNeely.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely.
Does
correct.
Everyone agree with that?
Well, I think in this particular situation, there was two factors. One that Microsoft wasn't on the offensive, and people wanted to think the worst about them. Those two factors conspired against them.
Yeah.
They just weren't ready for this. This is in the half of 6 months ago, that was history, right? Didn't expect it to come up like this. So they didn't have a message ready to make sure that the facts were bubbled up to the right people to deliver on time. And it's only now coming out this week, today, that the exact facts were, which turns out to be pretty tangy.
But Chris, let me come back to you on something you said there, which is, the average person doesn't care about the privacy. The other piece was around McNeely saying, privacy's dead, get over it. So, but today, in that room, there were at least 57 guests coming along, and pretty much everybody had something to say, I would say, about it. And let's put away defining the average person
right.
just for the second.
The average person is not
but
doing things online for a living. They go to MSN, and their search is Google.
Right.
That's what they look for. To go to Google and search for something.
But my dad, I spoke to my dad on Sunday, right? We were just having a conversation about this and the other, and he just brings it up, right? So it's like, what is going on with the MSN thing? You see, it's like, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, what was interesting is that, A, he didn't clearly understand what had been given over, and I think you covered that. There's a delta between what people perceived, the data that was handed over, and what was actually handed over. So there was that. But the other is that the potential to actually hand over what wasn't given, is of concern.
I'm in total agreement. And I'm not sitting here and saying, forget about it. But at the same time, we have to accept that a lot of the things that we do online, in some form or another, unless you're going through 13 proxies and jumping, you're doing like in the movies where hackers have to go through, Estonia and then go through Brazil, and unless you're doing all that wacky stuff. The average person isn't going to do that, and they're not going to think about those things. They're going to act upon whatever it is they need to do to accomplish a certain task. It's a toaster, is all a computer is.
This podcast is going to be transferred through Estonia, actually.
See? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it'll be clean.
But in terms of the information that is being held about you, now it's kind of more generally wide about online services, right? There was a part of the discussion which was around, show me what, as people say, show me what data you've got on me. Give me an interface that allows me to manage that, delete it, if I don't want it, for value exchange and this, that, and the
other.
That
would be wonderful, man.
So,
that would be absolutely wonderful.
So, right. So,
is anybody doing that now?
No.
No.
You throw it out into the ether, and that's it.
Hmm? And what features, what would you want to see there?
What?
Similar to what Amazon has with their recommendation system, which for everybody is either magic or either white magic or black magic.
Black.
but it's like, why did we recommend this?
Never grant Will and Grace. That's all I ask.
But it's like being able to click on an ad or something under an ad and say, why was this recommended? What data do you have on me that this is coming up?
Mm-hmm.
What action prior to my click? Merlin Mann was bringing up some really good points. It's like, show me before I take an action what information I'm actually passing to you that you're going to make recommendations on or the other people are going to make recommendations on. And so it becomes sort of transparency. And it's kind of a tipping point to some degree whether sort of in the government and Microsoft, where people don't trust the government more than they don't trust Microsoft anymore. And that sort of seems to be what's happened in the last couple of weeks, is that the government has less trust than what people trusted Microsoft. And within the technology community, it was the evil empire. Well, the evil empire is no longer Microsoft. It's now the U.S. government. And it's like, what is the U.S. government doing with this data? The trust isn't so much that Microsoft would turn it over, but everybody thought the worst. But it's like, what's the government going to do with it? And that,
well,
I think, is
what's
made
Microsoft
on front page.
Yeah. What's Microsoft going to do with it? What's Google going to do with it? It's all
One of the issues that was brought up that I think is really kind of key to this whole issue is that is that when you give information to a service online via MSN or Google or Yahoo, I believe there's an implicit trust there that the relationship you have with that company or with that service stays with that service, and that they're acting in your best interest. And then this whole issue of them giving the information to the government or the government requesting the information from them, that's all of a sudden introducing this third party that wasn't part of that implicit trust to begin with.
Yes. That
makes me really, really nervous, just from a consumer point of view. What do you guys think would happen, or what's your feelings about, if the government asks those same search engines again, subpoenas them for actual personal information?
Okay, then at that point, then I'm with Dave McClure, stating that Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, whatever parties are involved, Ask AOL, whoever's involved, before they make one move, the onus is on them to get together and move unilaterally.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Yeah.
Because that way, it's none of this political BS that happens. I mean, it's what they come. I know it's going to be difficult to come to an agreement, but at least they're standing together. And in doing that, at least it's more comfortable to go in as many instead of going in as individuals against one.
Yeah. And it gets to be a slippery slope. And it's like what Microsoft turned over was very little. What they could ask for the next time could be a little bit more.
Well, and remember, they did initially. Right. And as you pointed out, it was scoped down after a process of negotiation.
Right. Which was really nice to hear, but it would have been really nice to hear that sort of transparently, either through the press or through some other means.
Agreed.
Well,
so I was going to ask Chris. So agreed around the unilateral, industry-wide work to make sure that there isn't political bullshit around that. But then if that's...
we
so
can cuss on this?
That, right?
Oh, fuck, I didn't know that.
I mean, after we covered your clubhouse,
it
was really okay.
Yeah, that's right.
The rules kind of went out the window
at that point.
Yeah.
But what should be the first steps? I mean, is it about posting a notice to say this first step has actually taken? We have been asked for this.
See, that's the thing. That's where I'm very leery about any kind of I think transparency is good, but only a certain amount. People don't want to know how the sausage is made. They just want to eat it. And quite honestly, I think it'd be a little overkill with every transaction or every click. I saw exactly what was going on. I mean, dude, I flash someone an IP address. You're hacking me. What the? No, no one's hacking you. It's your IP address. How do you know? Because it's a computer. People only want to know so much.
No, agreed. I'm talking about the process of negotiation.
It's the same thing. In terms of what the first step is, I wouldn't be transparent about it at all. You may come out and say, all right, we're being subpoenaed and we're being asked for all this information, but before we make a move, we really want to sit down with the other players, and then it becomes a good faith. It's the same reason why I think, and it's interesting now with the... it's not exactly a merger, I guess a relationship between MSN and Yahoo has been a fantastic move for the IM space. Instant messages. Finally, hopefully within the next couple of quarters, we'll be able to interoperate between our Yahoo buddies and our MSN buddies. So now the onus is on AIM or Google to figure out how everything's going to interoperate. AIM's now no longer a team player. So it would be the same in this sense. It's the same political BS, but on a completely different level, because there's a lot much more at stake, more than just the integrity of the search engines. it's really the privacy that's an issue. The implicit agreement that we make with when we search something, whether we're cognizant of that actual action or not, it's that knowing we type something into Google thinking, I'm doing research, let's say, on child pornography, or kids who are looking at Playboy magazines online. I'm doing research. Does that mean that, you know, now am I in danger of possibly, you know, getting in trouble for child pornography because someone thought this, that, or the other thing?
Yeah.
Without any kind of initial action and some type of announcement that there one company is ready to make moves and bridge the gap between the players, I think that's the big thing. Before they release anything or talk about anything, because too much transparency is dangerous, way too dangerous. Because then one press, you see it happen all the time in the blogosphere. You get this little bit, and then pretty soon it's like, boom! It's a completely different story. It's a completely different issue, and it blows way out of proportion.
It would make the government think a little harder, though, rather than go on fishing expeditions.
Well, but it also makes the general public think a little bit harder, too. Like now, being on this exact news item, being on the front page of almost every newspaper in the entire United States, now the general public is more aware of the fact that their searches aren't anonymous. They can potentially be tied back to them. So there was a loss of trust, but it was also an increase in education, be a change in behavior. I think there will be a lot of fallout.
But it was also on the heels of George W. Bush, and I'm conservative or liberal, I don't care. He's spying. They're spying. They don't care. That's the Patriot Act at work. I think we should be more worried about past legislation, the Patriot Act, than we should be worried about our results being given up in search engines being subpoenaed for the results. That's real. That's the law. There's so much more to worry about in the Patriot Act. So much more.
Even though the Patriot Act, this whole thing would have happened, or this whole thing, they can always subpoena those records. You can't hide the information from the government. If they want to know, they'll find out. And people need to know that. They need to know the consequences of their actions. What does it mean? What is the impact of being online and doing things there? And,
so here's a thought. Just like, so where should the data really reside if that's the case? I mean, just throw out a hypothetical. If you're dealing with a server-side based application, the service essentially holds your data, and as if it holds your data, well, at least then it can be subpoenaed, right? It acts as the proxy for the aggregator of all the data of all the users of the service, right? Just throwing
sure,
the idea out there.
That's so, a very big.
So then, in fact, could you turn around and say, well, actually, why don't we actually have the data sitting on the client side or somewhere else on the cloud or something else that essentially the service provider doesn't even have the data to hand over? All you've got is the temporary permission to be able to pivot off the data to be able to do your
stuff. That's a fundamental economic shift that I guarantee Google, MSN, Yahoo, the big players are not going to play with, because that's their leverage. That's what they're able to turn around and do their advertising and say, here are the statistics that we have. This is what we're able to build upon. Idealistically, it's a fantastic idea.
Well, sure, there's also just fundamental product decisions. Like, I mean, one of the things about the web is that you can go anywhere and log in and become you. And then otherwise, suddenly, you have to leave some sort of access open on your home computer, which you have to maintain.
Or a version of you.
Yep. And then there's also perf considerations if your own thing is open. Perf. Performance.
Okay,
yes.
I was only saying,
so instead
was
of
that Microsoft
instead of yeah, very well.
Was I in the ecosystem there?
Sorry.
I get that word a lot. So perf. Okay, got it.
So instead of getting search results in 0.03 seconds, it would be 5, which would be noticeably different.
But there is a difference, though, between the aggregate level data that is used in order to be able to sell, you know, the value of a keyword on data's demographics,
yeah, but
right?
Have you ever talked to a marketer? Marketers want to know every possible number.
Yeah.
You can hand them a spreadsheet with no relevance to the campaign they're talking about, and they'd be just happy as a clam.
Yeah, but do you need to know that it's Chris Perillo that is 32 years old number 44567?
Some marketers do. I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying that realistically. Honestly, you know, I give up, you know, as much information as I want to give up. I've never felt like I was have been invaded. If I see another tennis ball commercial, as long as I live, it'll be too soon. I'm just not into it. I don't care. They say, no, the tampon commercial. Well, that's a completely different issue, but I'm not going to go into that right now.
That's a podcast.
Got dirty data. But there are certain things that I'm willing to give up, you know, about myself, like whether it's my age, I don't care. It's like, to me, the age is not saying it's me. What's saying it's me is not even my IP address necessarily. It's my name, it's my social security number. It's the things that I usually give up to credit card companies or like health insurance agencies. They've got my information. I'm already in the cloud. Everybody in this room is in the cloud. If you've got a credit card, you know, let me tell you a story. And this is a true story. Day after Christmas, Ponzi, my fiance, and I go to the mall. Fantastic sale. She wants to buy these shirts. 50% off, and thank God, because these things are like $1,000 a piece if they weren't 50% off, like Lucky Brand or something like that. So we're standing there, and I'm standing in line, so there's a long line, it's 50% off sale. She's browsing around, and this girl behind me, she's talking on her cell phone. She said, well, I want you to, she's talking to the guy, or whoever she's talking to, I need you to transfer $300 from this account to that account, but don't tell Dad, because I don't want him to get mad about blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Ha, ha, ha. I'm glad I came. Whew. Thank God, you know, that kind of transparency. Ponzi tells me what she's spending. So I just, you know, I'm playing my game on my phone, and I kind of go on. And she says, okay, so this is what you need to do. You're going to need my social security number, which is blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I stop on my phone. I just, like, freeze. I'm like, this is not happening. This is seriously like, you know, in Driver's Ed, you know, when the ball comes out, you don't expect this to happen. They have, like, training films for, like, when you're learning to do. This is, like, the classic example. So she, social security number, freeze. It says, and then you're going to need my account number, which is blah, 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 blah. I was like, she's not doing this. She is not doing this. At this point, I question whether or not I should actually turn around and tell her, look, you don't know what you're doing. Shut up. Just don't do this. She continues. And then you're going to need my password. I freaked. I could not believe what I was hearing. So we worry all this about, you know, 128-bit encryption and Blowfish, and you got to have the yellow padlock, and you got to make sure you use the right social security. And we got these freaking people running around just information in a public place on a cell phone. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I could not believe it. Hand to God, this really happened. This really happened. So as much as we worry about the information that we're typing in on Google or MSN, we've got people running around that are doing this stuff, and they don't give a lick. They don't see it. They don't understand that. You don't do that. You don't do one element of that, let alone all three at the same time. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
And that's all because of clothing.
And God,
all because of clothing.
It's crazy. Well, thank God for that. That's a completely different podcast there, too. But no, I'm serious. I mean, we think so much about computer security, but there is the wetware element. What's in the head? What comes out of the mouth that we don't necessarily account for? And I think it's not. How many times have you handed a credit card to a waiter or a waitress you had no idea who they were? I mean, it happens all the time.
Multiple times.
It happens all the time, and that's just as dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's not just. The onus isn't necessarily just on the search engines giving up privacy data. The onus is on the individual to be educated. And I think it's a very important word that you use in as these stories come to fruition. And I think then it's transferred to the press. What's the media going to do with it? Are they going to explain what do you need to do to keep yourself private? Is it going through an anonymizer, or is it just not being stupid? And I think that's the base level. It's just not being stupid. Train people not to be stupid. Sorry.
Well said.
Yes. That's my punctuation mark.
Exclamation.
So we promised ourselves we weren't going to go on and on and on here and just keep it 25 minutes.
Sorry,
half an hour.
Screwed you out of that.
Not to you, but just to us. So I guess just to summarize and finish off, maybe we just kind of finish off with a thought before we go, before we do.
What needs to stand out is how absurd it was for the media to cover a non-story and play it into infinity, and two, and this is obviously tied to one, is the information that was given out is out there, and it's been out there. I can request it myself, and they'll give it to me, right? Will they give it to me?
Google will. You ask for the keyword information, they'll give all of more than what they're willing to give the government.
and blame that the other people are giving.
That's very true. They, I know the API that allows you to do that as well. So,
mm-hmm. Is it RESTful?
Oh, I've just been hacking them. I didn't know you had an API.
God.
I couldn't hack my way out of a wet paper bag.
Oh, well, no, I think that you just need to go through Estonia.
That's all the secrets in Estonia.
Yeah, it's easy.
Well, I think that it was clear that after all the things that happened last week, that now everyone should know that Microsoft was unjustly accused of doing things, and it's unfortunate they were on this side of the spin cycle. It also confirms that the blogosphere is an echo chamber. These things, you know, once a little piece of information out there, factual or not, gets out, if people believe it, it gets amplified. Mm-hmm. People have to be aware of that. And, you know, I think that one of the great things about the blogosphere is people are becoming much more critical of the media, and they're questioning what they read, and this will disperse with confirmness that you don't have to believe the first things that you hear.
We saw a lot of groupthink.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We saw a lot of groupthink.
I didn't blog about it, so it wasn't me.
A lot of group destruction as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've ruined this whole podcast.
No, it's great.
I think you've got a tangent along what Chris was saying along the lines of brand with Lucky. People are willing to pay whatever. People are willing to pay whatever for Google. And, like, people are willing to believe whatever about Google. And it's like MSN, you know, we heard an awful lot today about transparency, and they've learned an incredible lesson about talking to the community, being more transparent.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, when the government asked, I don't know, the 57 people that are here for search camps that were invited, think that it'd be really nice if Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, whoever gets subpoenaed, says, we've been asked for this subpoena. We know that there's people, whether it's like 10 people, whether it's like 500,000 people, whether it's 50 million people, have an interest in knowing what the government is asking us to turn over, and just to turn to the people who actually have their information stored there, whether implicitly or explicitly, and saying, hey, should we turn this over? Here's what we're thinking about turning over. Should we fight this? Should we not? And it's because it's the people who are paying the bills for the Microsoft, the Google, the Yahoo, AOL. It's our data, just like we're paying our tax dollars. What is the government asking? What is the government doing on our behalf that we want them to do or don't want them to do? What are the companies that hold our data and our personal livelihood? And based on the brand, it's like half off on a brand. Hey, that sounds great. Half off on a Google stock. Hey, that's grand. I was like, Google's playing, you know, half off on the brand, like looking to get it to 600 this week and looking to shove everybody else down. I'm like, it was a game. It was nothing more than a game. And it's like, it's a game with my personal identity, the personal things that I'm doing. It's my personal livelihood, and each person that, like, types anything in on the web needs to think of it as their personal identity, their personal livelihood that's being played in this game of politics, this game of commerce, this game of whatever. And it's like, it's up to the little tiny atoms to have the aggregators look out for them. It's like, we have trust, whether blindly, ignorantly, or intelligently, we trust other people to look out for us to make this thing that the web, that, you know, the bloggers, the other people in the society that, like, love this stuff, it's like completely transformed our lives, transformed how we buy things, transformed how we get information. We can live anywhere and still follow our favorite, you know, favorite sports teams, you know, buy our favorite products from anywhere in the world. This thing has changed everything. We need to be protecting that and making sure that it can persist on. And so this privacy is very, very important to that. And as we move into the future and having our information follow us however we want it to follow us so that we have it at our fingertips, this is a very, very important step. And knowing what Microsoft actually turned over should have been transparent more from the beginning. It's comforting knowing that they've learned their lesson. But it's also, you know, good to think that everybody in that space, when they're requested for the information, should work together. Because as a user of the service, of any service on the web, I want to know that everybody's working together in my best interest. No matter what, you know, whether it's the EU, whether it's the US government, whether it's China, we all have a central common thread that runs through this, and we're open on blogs. We're open on our information. We're freely transferring information, however, and that's got to be protected in one way or another, whether we're doing it openly or somewhat cloaked in some manner. So it was comforting for me. Tend to be somewhat skeptical of sort of the Microsoft brand. And it was a very enlightening and very comforting thing from a brand that I don't have a whole lot of, or didn't have a whole lot of trust in, and realizing that there is an incredible amount of trust that I should actually be placing in them from what was portrayed today. And that was very nice.
Yeah, I think at the when Google kind of brought this to light, at first, and I think still, I was really happy that they went to bat for me, without knowing the details of what information was requested, and what information was actually given over by Microsoft and Yahoo. I was glad that Google essentially went to bat for me. Did they need to do it in such a public manner, kind of at the expense of the other two? I don't know. It certainly seems like a smart strategy just from a PR standpoint. However, had I received, say, a personal email from Google saying, well, this is what we're doing on your behalf, or had I received a personal email from the other two services, that probably would have made as much an influence on me. But I think also it's good to look back at the real reason why we're giving up our information in the first place. We give up information in order to get better services from companies. And like I mentioned earlier, I think there's an implicit trust there. And it's kind of a paradox because with the increase in technology, better technologies, we're finding that the more information we give up, say, the more of our clickstream that we can provide to someone, the better service they can provide. The better recommendation systems are the obvious service that they can provide. So I think that in the future, that if companies can kind of parlay the benefits of their service, that people will continue to give personal information. But I also think that it'll be interesting to watch whether people are start kind of shutting themselves off and turning away these valuable services because of situations like this.
This is Brady Forrest. All I know is thank God we had search champs this week. We were able to really get out the story that we needed to get out. We were able to discuss the issues. We were able to hear from really smart, intelligent people, and not to be total kiss-ass, like that's what it sounds like, what is on their minds, what are they thinking, and I'm really glad that we had this program, and I think we're definitely going to continue doing it because we see these type of results, and we're not paying them to say what they've said that.
You're not?
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
I thought you guys knew that.
No. You're on the wrong show again. That's next door.
I'm going to Estonia. That's it.
That new OS for my Mac is like killer.
And it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the event.
Well, I do want to say this, that I think out of all the search engines, I mean, since this is pretty much what we're talking about, I think MSN has certainly been the most inviting, having been a four-time search champ now, been most inviting to feedback. Sometimes it takes three meetings to get something through, but the fact that you're listening is certainly, I mean, for me, certainly appreciated. I've never been extended that courtesy from other search engines. Google has helped. Yahoo has been very helpful. Well, Yahoo's done it to a certain degree, but not. I don't think near the level of MSN. I think MSN is certainly to be commended for it and continuing the program. I think, and other search engines should learn from that, certainly, whether we're invited or not. We're a cheap date.
You've always been cheap then.
Okay.
It's a new experience for me. It was my first search camps this time around, and I am from Microsoft, but not inside of MSN, so it's kind of interesting to be on the one hand on the inside, on the outside, and seeing today happen. It was great just literally to see conversation happening. I mean, I think that there's this, you know, the clue train and this, that, and the other, and you kind of read the books and whatever. Yeah, marks the conversations, but it's like there's a difference between having PowerPoints being slammed in front of you, and there's a difference between that and actually asking for dialogue and just being open to you know, 57 bloggers or experts in their field, you know, pretty much telling you how it is. And I think that from a Microsoft perspective, definitely got massive amount out of it. And I just echo what you said, Ray. I'd say one thing, though, that I don't agree with you, Chris, and because I've got the last word, I don't believe that for a minute, though, is the Scott McNeely thing, which is like, I asked two identity kind of gurus out there, Dick Hart and King Cameron, the question is like, I played back that quote that you said, you know, privacy's dead, get over it. And both of them, who you know, live and breathe identity and whatever, just said, no, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard, right? Because there is something we can do about it. I think that what we've gone is into a life of the online where we haven't really progressed a great deal around things like identity and the associated notion around privacy and how I manage that and how I manage my data. I think it's still such early days. I think the kind of episodes like this week has been good because the conversation does happen. And something will come out of it. I don't know how much better it gets. I agree that the average man on the street may not really think and care about it that much, but I think it's without solving those things, they're a barrier to commerce. They're a barrier to the stuff that we really want to do, and the kind of the more trust in the system that we have, better. So with that kind of the wonderful, wonderful web ending that I give there, Chris, unfortunately, I do have the last word. Thank you. All right.